Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome along. It had to be João Félix, didn't it? Unless it was Griezmann. It would have worked if it was Griezmann, to be fair. Now, it wouldn't have been Lewandowski. I mean, have you seen that guy trying to score a goal these days? Yes, an Atletico Madrid player scored the only goal in their game with Barcelona. But in a stunningly ironic twist, he was playing for Barca. Fancy that, a ludicrously complicated transfer deal between those two perfectly normal clubs. Maybe Nahuel Molina was under orders to let João Félix through on goal, thereby boosting his fee in the first of the 47 transfer negotiations rounds that are inevitably about to begin. Where will Barca get the money from? It'll be no problem when somebody pays Lewandowski 500 million euros buyout clause. That is a real number, by the way. He's 35 and currently chasing a cow with a banjo. But don't worry, Barca fans, he'll come good soon enough. Legal note, La Liga Weekly accepts no financial responsibility if Robert Lewandowski does not, in fact, come good. The top two both won. Real Madrid were comfortable against Granada. Rodrigo has reached 0.0 in the G-XC stats metric, as the old song goes. Girona continued to defy gravity and logic with 37-year-old Christian Stuani, the hero. We kicked him out of Middlesbrough in 2017 because he was too old and wasn't good enough. 36-year-old Jose Luis Morales bagged again. Stick at it, Ben Brereton Diaz. You're at least a decade too young to be a La Liga striker. There we are, everybody. Thank you for your continued support to the Patreons. Paul Campbell was at the game yesterday. Going to be at Barca versus Atleti. So if you see someone running on, trying to kick Félix in the nuts, you know who it was. Well, I mean, the halftime substitutions from Diego Simeone were similar, weren't they? They were sent on with a mission. Yes, so thank you to all the Patreons. Gareth, welcome along. Nice to have you on board, our latest. Terry, lamenting the lost art of the chip. So we've been sent a number of what you're not having most of them, are you? Thank you to everyone who sent them. Yeah, yes. But the Jonathan Vieira one from 2017, I think it is, isn't it? So yeah. Jonathan Vieira against Athletic. You'll have to look it up yourself because obviously you're not allowed to share stuff, La Liga stuff on Twitter and whatever. But that was a proper chip from, he's 30 or 35 yards out or something, keeper out of his goal, up and over it goes.
Yep. Ball on the floor, chip on the floor.
Yeah.
Not a dink. Big difference, the dink and the chip.
Yeah. So we saw Hugo Duro scored this weekend, but that was a dink.
Yep.
Yeah. And João Félix, which we'll get to in a moment, again. Not a chip, a dink. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yes,
that's my criteria.
Yes, the declining art. Some of the guys have sent us through some messy. Messy. Anything you define in football, Messi is the outlier on it. Yeah, Messi could do that. Yeah, but I know. Yes, true. Fair enough. Messi could do it. Right. So the big game of the weekend. Disappointing for Atleti. Good result for Barcelona. Sensational story, of course, for João Félix. Is this guy who is, like I say, another complicated transfer story coming up. He's paid 10% of his wages to be at Barca, which is incredible, isn't it? He's not exactly on the breadline, but he's made a genuine sacrifice because he wants to play there. He doesn't want to be at Atleti. Talk about the game, first of all, and then we'll get on to João Félix's ongoing situation.
Yeah, it was a much improved performance from Barcelona, and one that I have seen coming because the players that have come back from injury are getting fitter, stronger, sharper, De Jong and Pedri in particular. And to a degree, Lewandowski. I know we criticised him in the intro, but I will stick up for him in this instance, apart from the fact he couldn't find the back of the net. And Barcelona really took it to Atleti in the opening 10, 15, 20 minutes of the game, played at a much faster pace than we've been seeing. And it was a better balanced team. I mean, Inigo Martinez, that threw us on the comms. He was in the team sheet to start. And then suddenly, that's Christensen. Quick, you know what it's like. Panic. So it was a reshuffle back four, actually, because Christensen came in from Inigo Martinez. Koundé went to right back, Araujo back to centre back. And Barcelona did look to have a better balance. There's no obvious holding midfield player. Pedri is playing as the attacking midfielder. And De Jong and Gundogan are sharing the duties. Often it's a double pivot in midfield. But it looks a better balanced team. João Félix on the left, Rafinha on the right. I couldn't argue too much about the team selection. Maybe I'm still wondering why Balde's not left back. I know Cancelo's playing well at left back, but he was playing okay at right back. So I think that might make them a even better balanced team with a natural right back and a natural left back. So, but in terms of team selection, it was pretty good from Xavi. Not too many changes. And they were good at the start of the game, and I expect that from them. When you look at that starting 11 last night, it's a really good team. The team capable of winning the Champions League, when you individually look at the players. So I do expect better from Barcelona going forward now they've got over the injury crisis. And they approached the game in the right way. And I will talk about Barcelona initially because they were really good. But Atleti were poor in that first half, hence the reason Simeone makes three changes at half-time and another two before the 60-minute mark. It's quite drastic, to be honest. It's a gamble. Mm. A gamble that nearly paid off. But Barcelona were the better team. Yeah. They were hanging on at the end because they failed to take those chances. Rafinha had a good chance. Lewandowski had two really good chances. They're a little bit wasteful in front of goal in terms of their final pass. And then I would say the last 30 minutes of the game, we didn't see too many chances created by Barcelona. And Atleti came on strong, played with more aggression. And we're unlucky not to get the equaliser in Iñaki Peña, who I will reiterate again. Sometimes I look and I forget it's not Ter Stegen because he looks exactly the same. The save he makes where he just stands big with his arms by his side, that's Ter Stegen. So, you know, he's 24. He's been under Ter Stegen for quite some time as a senior goalkeeper. And all those little, stylistically, the way Ter Stegen plays as reflected on Iñaki Peña. So, to me, he looks too good to be an understudy for the next 5 or 6 years to Ter Stegen, and maybe longer. So, I imagine he's done his career a world of good in terms of other clubs now would be looking and going, oh, that, you know, Iñaki Peña, he fits the bill as a modern goalkeeper, decent, agile, good shot stopper. Looks, not sure about the crosses yet. I haven't seen too many of those. And could put a ball at his feet. So, Barcelona have been fortunate that they haven't missed Ter Stegen too much because they have a really good understudy. Yeah. So, it was down to him in the end. I mean, the 1-0 win, he pulled off two really good saves, the one from the free kick, and the close range attempts were down to, you know, it's the biggest reason, ultimately, why Barcelona held on to all 3 points in the end. So it was disappointing Atleti throw away halves of football still. It's been something we've spoken about for a few years now. It happens every now and then. And it was a back five to start with last night. They were forced onto the back foot by good play from Barcelona. And it was hard for them to get into the game, but the changes Simeone made. I think that the goal as well, when you look at the goal, how it was conceded, I think Molina, I was critical of him on the comms because I didn't think he was strong enough. But when I see it again, he actually tries to steal the ball as opposed to actually winning a tackle. He thinks he can steal it, nick it away, and look to create a counter-attack.
But it's poor
rather
play,
than being forceful.
I mean, it's a good break, isn't it? Because it's really sharp breakthrough. But at that moment, it was poor from Molina, wasn't it? You're right. He's trying to nick the ball, isn't he? And then João Félix gets away and gets through. Can we talk about João Félix then? So, right, how did he play in general? Obviously, he got the big moment. He celebrated it, as you know, which is sort of telling because he is currently on loan. I mean, you and I have discussed this. You know, there are guys who played somewhere on loan 5 years ago and don't celebrate a goal against them. And you think, I'll just celebrate your goal, mate. But he didn't go crazy or anything, but he jumped up on the board, didn't he, and celebrated.
Where Atleti supporters were.
I think he's entitled to do that, as long as you don't go crazy about it. So his overall performance, where does it leave him? How does this one get resolved? Or are we just moving into a very complicated, long wrangle?
Oh, yes. That all one. Of the above. I think we have to be careful of a knee-jerk reaction. That was his second goal in La Liga.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he played well against Porto in the second half of the other night.
Yeah, is it a good week?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yeah.
He's had a good week. Prior to that, it's been hit and miss. And would you suggest confidently that Barcelona should pay the? I can only guess.
That's the problem, isn't it?
What the fee is going to be. 80 million, 50
what would you
million,
pay?
100
yeah.
million.
Yeah.
And not, can Barcelona find it? That's the other problem.
And the answer is no, isn't it, to all of those?
Yeah, and they're getting Vitor Roque in January, who's the young Brazilian striker. They've brought that forward. He's going to be the player to replace Gavi in midfield. He's a centre-forward in terms of they're allowed to spend some money because Gavi's injured. So I'm pretty sure Barcelona as well, they're going to drive a hard bargain. Atleti did it with them with Griezmann. You know, there was a 40 million deal agreed, and then Atleti played hardball, got it down to 20. So, but even if it's a cheap rate for João Félix, it's still going to be a lot of money.
Mm.
So I think that's something to kick the can further down the road at the end of the season. I think Barcelona, if he continues his form like he's showing now, I think it's his best position. Out on the left. I think that's clearly his best position for Barcelona. He's obviously got enthusiasm to play for Barcelona. I don't know whether he was misquoted, but some of the things he said, I can understand the Atleti players getting the ump, to be honest. Not so much Simeone. Simeone wouldn't care. Simeone's just glad to see the back of him, despite the fact he scored the goal last night. Because let's be honest, Atleti haven't missed him.
But they extended his contract, didn't they, to 2029? So it's not, it's got another 5.5 years on his contract. It's not easily resolved, is it?
No, and that's because they wanted to protect their investment. They still see him as an asset and worth a lot of money. Yeah. Their big hope was Chelsea, did well at Chelsea, and Chelsea, as a Premier League club, would have paid 100 million. But that didn't happen. He didn't have the impact there that they wanted. And Pochettino didn't fancy him. So 100 million wouldn't have been a problem. If he'd scored half a dozen goals last year for Chelsea, then Chelsea would have paid it. So that was their big hope. And then Barcelona was the second best option, to be honest. I don't think anything has to be sorted out until the end of the season. And then Barcelona can have a look at it, see how well he's done over a season, see whether they need him, whether they can afford him and stuff like that, see what price Atleti takes. So I don't think anything will be resolved now. Yeah. But what he said about the Atleti was, I don't believe he said it as it's been quoted, where he's accused that all the Atleti players would rather play for Barcelona Xavi as opposed to playing the style that Simeone and Atleti play. That's disparaging, to be honest. If I was an Atleti player, I'd be thinking, no, Griezmann's gone the other way. Memphis has gone the other way. There'll be players at Atleti that could play for Barcelona, but are happy to play for Atletico Madrid and Simeone. So that was a little bit out of order. And before the game, I'm thinking, well, you've done the talking. Now you've got to back it up. He did.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. And if you've been misquoted, and I was a few times in my career, it actually upsets you, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because people see a different version of what you actually said than you. And if you're the type, which I was, it upset me a bit, to be honest. I never said that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They've made more of it than you meant to say.
Yeah.
Which in a sort of broadcast interview you hear, but sometimes you think, oh, would that be a better line if he'd said that and just give it a tweak? Yeah. And then from your point of view, suddenly thinking, no, that's not what I meant to say. but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I think I did one where I was asked for Coventry against Arsenal. I was in a good run of form, and the day before I did an interview, and they asked me, because of being an ex-Spurs player, would I like to score against Arsenal? I said, oh, of course I would. Yeah, I'd love to. And they went, I bet you'd love to score a hat-trick. And I said, oh, yeah, of course I would love to score a hat-trick. The headline was, Gibson promises a hat-trick. But I was like, no, I didn't. So that's how easy it can be to be taken out, you know, to be misquoted in print.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it had been in audio, yeah, of course I'd love to score a hat-trick in any game. That it would be along those lines, not, I'm going to get a hat trick. We're going to beat Arsenal. When it's like Saturday morning.
You watch out, Arsenal. Yeah.
I've never said that.
Bit pinned up on the Arsenal dressing room wall.
And the manager tearing a strip off you before the game, and then you lose 2-1 or something, and you haven't scored a hat trick, and it's like, oh, I never actually said that.
Can I ask you about Robert Lewandowski then? So we've been sort of discussing this. This is not news to us that there is a situation with Lewandowski. Kid ran onto the pitch, didn't he, asking for a selfie. So he obviously he's maintained his self-defume, and he took the cameras didn't, they panned away from it. But so this kid ran on the pitch, and Lewandowski gave him his selfie before the stewards led the kids off. So he's still got his sense of humour. But he's all round game you thought was good yesterday.
Yes.
It's still a problem though, isn't it? That he's 35, he's taking up so much of the budget. Like I say, no one's paying $500 million release clause for him on current form. Well, we don't know, do we? We don't know whether the goals are going to come back for Lewandowski.
I genuinely believe they will.
Right.
I'm firmly of the opinion that his skill class is permanent. I don't think, he's quicker in the past than he is now, of course.
Yeah.
But I just genuinely think his all-round game last night was so much better. Mm. Determination, work rate, it might be because he raised his game because it was a big match. He should have scored the header. He chose the wrong technique. It actually hit him in the face, didn't it? He was complaining, hit him on the nose.
Yeah. Went a long way off target.
Yeah. He needs to score the volley.
Yeah.
The cutback. That was another one. But I thought his work rate was better. I thought his hold-up play was better. His movement was better. His attitude was better. I thought he played well, apart from the fact he didn't take the chances that came his way. And I, because of the history of him, I genuinely believe, and I'm a little surprised, I've talked about in the past, Ronaldo and Messi not ever having a confidence crisis.
Yeah.
He's got one now. He's just off the boil. Goals he scored so far don't match to what he got last season. They don't match what he got at Bayern. He got 33 last season. He was always over 40 for Bayern. He was one season 55. He's not going to reach that. It was slightly disappointing last year, his overall total in La Liga to win, but he still won the Pichichi. They still won the league.
Mm.
He's won 9 titles on the trot. Eight for Bayern, and when he comes to Barcelona, they win the league. And I still think he'll come good. I really do. I think it just needs a goal. And I think the service they got to him last night was slightly better. Still could have been better, but it was slightly better. I think he likes playing more with Rafinha. The header he missed was the classic understanding they have where Rafinha cuts back on his left foot, whips across in. If a team are defending too deep, he'll be on the end of it and not be offside. So I think there's better to come. So I think with this general room for improvement for Barcelona, it really includes Lewandowski. And I genuinely believe in 2 or 3 weeks' time he'll be amongst the goals. And
right.
I'm not saying he's a long-term solution. This might be his last season.
Okay.
In terms of being at Barcelona and being a top striker, and then maybe the obvious one is
Saudi.
Saudi.
Yeah. Because he's got a long contract. He's still got another 2 years to come after this. So he's not sort of going anywhere in a sense unless they want him to. But
confidence is a weird thing. It makes you slower.
Yeah, right.
You're not as sharp.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't feel as fit.
Because you're thinking.
You've got confidence. You're
thinking too much, aren't you? I think for my rudimentary understanding of sports psychology is that you're better off a lot of things you do automatically in the automatic processing bit of the brain, and therefore you do them quicker. Yeah. As soon as you start thinking, oh, I could kick this ball.
Yeah. Exactly.
The moment's gone, hasn't it? So
it's astonishing the difference that confidence makes to any player. But I think there's the two positions that are most important: the goalkeeper and the striker. in terms of confidence. I think that's the issue. The rest of the issues where you're a midfield player, you're a winger, you might not have confidence in your crossing ability, you might mess one or two up, it's not the end of the world. If you're a midfield player and you give away a few passes, it's not the end of the world. If you miss a chance in front of goal, if you make a mistake in goal, as a goalkeeper, it's big news. And I think that's the reason why, to those two positions, confidence is critical. And it does make you, if you lose confidence, everything is harder. So I think once he gets his goal, and that will come soon, then I think we'll see him rattling the goals in. And my prediction is that he'll be Bacigi again. Even now, I'm still standing by that, to be honest. Okay. Unless it's Stuani.
Well, let's do Girona. I'll take your cue, Terry. So Girona 2, Valencia 1. Ugo Douro scored with a dink, not a chip. And it looked as though shock result, Terry, on the cards. Valencia were going to beat Girona. Until they brought Stuani on, and Jan Couto came off the bench as well, didn't he, and set up both goals from right back or right wing back.
Yeah, that, exactly as you said it. I'm watching the game, this could be a shock result. And I'm thinking, whoa. Valencia against Girona. Valencia beating Girona would be a shock result. And it did appear it was going to go that way until the introduction of those two players. I mean, Stuani come on the 75th minute. He hits two goals, 82 and 88th minute. And turns the game there. The goal disallowed as well. And they run away with it at the end. And it's astonishing. We talk about confidence and belief in individuals and the confidence and belief in the players, the manager, the supporters at Girona. They feel like they're invincible. And the amount of times they've come back this season from going behind, it's not a fluke. Mm-hmm. They keep doing it. They have that belief. They have that belief that's reinforced because they are underdogs. So even when they're behind, there's no pressure. Mm. You know, the supporters are probably they're loving every minute of this season. And when they go behind against Valencia, they're thinking, well, so what? We think we can come back. And we're still the underdogs, despite being joint top of the league week 15 with Real Madrid. And it really wasn't a surprise when they came back. The surprising element of it was the fact that Stuani comes off the bench. And it can still be relied upon to get on the end of things in and around the penalty area. So, but it was astonishing at that stage. I'm thinking this could be a shock result, and I have to remind myself that, hang on, it's big old Valencia. I know they've got a young team, and the situation is different. But it would have been a shock result if they'd beaten Girona away from home, but they didn't. Girona continued.
It's I keep meaning to do this, put a little sort of poll out as to where they will finish. So we're into December, first week of December. Are they safe? 38 points. they probably yeah. are, aren't they?
They
given
are.
The points tallies at the bottom this season, yeah, it's probably enough.
My only thought was looking at their 12 points above Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a gap.
Yeah.
And I'm changing that prediction that then. Because I think Real Sociedad and Athletic Club are the two that could be challenging for. Well,
so they played Monday night, didn't they? So for Patreons, we chatted about that game, but obviously for everybody else, we haven't. So it was a 1-1 draw, wasn't it? Girona versus Athletic.
Yeah.
Last Monday night. So they're still unbeaten, but obviously Athletic are a very good club, as evidenced by their 4-0 against Rayo.
Yes. And I think that Athletic Club and La Real are two that can catch them.
Yeah.
I'll go out on a limb and say I don't think Girona will win the league. But if they finish top four, it's going to be an incredible achievement. It really is.
Would you do anything in January if you were them? I don't know if they're allowed. I haven't checked their finances. I don't know if they're allowed.
Yeah, Erling Haaland alone. If City are out the title race. Anyone that City are not using, maybe sweep up any of those squad players at City do not playing on a regular basis. No, I don't think so. I don't think it needs you can upset everything.
Yeah. Not lose people would be the main challenge, you would have thought, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Which they will be able to do.
Yeah.
I think they'll keep the squad together for this season. And it's astonishing. It's an incredible story now. It has been for a little period of time, but now 15 games in.
Yeah.
As you said, they're already safe from relegation and they're 12 points ahead of their closest rivals in terms of top four.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a turnaround that's going to have to take place. I'm not saying it's it's not impossible by any means, but we're all waiting for this turnaround, the draw against Athletic Club. Oh, is that all? Yeah, Athletic are decent, a really good team, as we saw at the weekend. And you're thinking, you know, is this going to be? Then they go behind against Valencia, and you're thinking, oh, this is where it's all going to unravel. And there will be a period of indifferent results, but they're riding the wave at the moment, and it really is a remarkable story. And yeah, congratulations to them on a spectacular successful season.
Let's talk about Athletic while we're here. 4-0 Rayo is a good result. I know Rayo are a bit of a weird team, aren't they? Who give you sometimes a really frustrated team, as we saw with Barcelona, or sometimes the way they play, they give you such a chance, and Athletic took their chances. Both Williams brothers were on the score sheet, and Nico has signed a new contract, which is really good news. So how good is he?
Oh, spectacular. Yeah. I mean, the fact he got thrust into the national team, there was an element of we've got Nabin before he goes off and plays for Ghana, like Iñaki Williams. But he's good enough to play international football for Spain. Yeah. He's
he could pace, be one of the stars
skill,
of the Euros, couldn't he? Yeah.
Exactly. So the fact they've tied him down, because there was a concern that he was going to be one of the younger ones that have now come onto the scene at Athletic Club that didn't sign the new contract, that ended up, you know, playing out, running down his deal and leaving on the cheap or leaving for free. So the fact they've tied him down, I understand why he signed as well. It's a prestigious football club. He's playing regular first team football, playing under an excellent manager. It's a good place to play your football at Athletic Club. And he's a young man. So, yeah, you know, play first team football, play on a regular basis.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Improve your all round game, which you should do because of his age. He's a super player. And Iñaki Williams is playing well. On the other side, Guruzeta has made such a difference. He gets the opening goal. But the fact that they've got a centre forward, not relying on Iñaki Williams playing out, slightly out of position down the middle. So, in turn, it's meant that Iñaki Williams gets goals, Nico Williams gets goals, Guruzeta scores in this game, and it was a. They are scintillating, particularly at home. When they're playing at home and they've got the crowd behind them and they're in good form and they're playing with confidence, Athletic Club are a really good team. And I stand by the fact that after about 3 games this season, I did think that it was a genuine possibility that they could get top 4. If it hadn't been for Girona being ridiculously good, then I think we would be looking at an Athletic Club that have the ability to play Champions League football. But it's going to be tough for them because of the deficit they have now. They do have Girona to play at home. Real Sociedad have Girona to play away. Girona play Barcelona next week. There are opportunities for La Real and Athletic Club to close the gap, but that's a big old gap.
Right, I got distracted, Terry. A fox appeared in the garden. So I'm looking at the window while you were talking. I think that's an actual fox.
Fox in the box.
Yeah, yeah. Right, I can see him again. He's trying to get through our fence into the neighbour's fence. There we are. But anyway, we'll carry on. And then I'll address the fox situation. Real Madrid, the new fox in the box is Rodrigo. Who, as I say, was bottom, I think, or Iago Aspas was the only worst finisher at one point, but he's turned it round in the space of a few weeks with some cracking finishes. Brahim Diaz got one as well. Granada have got a new coach. They've gone Uruguayan. But it was relatively straightforward, wasn't it, for Real Madrid?
Yeah, slightly underwhelming, to be honest. Yeah. I mean, I expected a bigger and more comfortable victory. But the pleasing aspect was Brahim Diaz, who's brought a lot to Real Madrid this season and the opportunities he's been given. I wasn't sure how he was going to be. I remember him from the past and, you know, I didn't see too much of him at Milan. And I was intrigued to see how he would fare. And I think he's justified the decision of Real Madrid and Ancelotti to keep him, not sell him on, not let him stay at Milan. And I think he's a real good addition to the squad. He's a player that can play anywhere across the front. He could probably be in a different formation, play in a wide attacking midfield position. But he's a really good player. Yeah. So I like the fact he's now getting amongst the goals. And Rodrigo, like Lewandowski, it was just a matter of time before his form in front of goal improved. So it was a pretty uneventful game, to be honest. Real Madrid weren't at their best. They didn't need to be. They won at a canter, midweek Champions League game, bouncing straight onto a home game against Granada. And it was a comfortable win for Real Madrid without really having to push themselves. Granada would be delighted at 2-0. With the form that we've seen this season, to go away from home, 19th position, just the one win, changing manager. Granada would be delighted they got away for 2-0.
Right. We're going to pause for one moment. Right. Okay, there we are. Brief pause. You wouldn't have even noticed anything. But there is a fox burying itself in the garden, which is slightly weird. Right. So the rest of La Liga. Thankfully, not too many goals to worry about. Osasuna got a 1-1 with Real Sociedad. A couple of things we need to talk about this. Umar Sadiq with another absolute belter.
Oh, yeah.
And also the save, the double save that Herrera made. Absolute. Unbelievable. Shall we do that one first? Because the first one is good, isn't it? Forget who was the first shot. The second one is a Marino header, isn't it? Where he has to get up and make the second save. So unbelievable quality in that quality moments in that game.
He's a really tall goalkeeper as well. At times can appear leggy when he has to run out of his box to deal with a ball over the top and stuff like that. So to be that agile,
yeah.
He's been a good goalkeeper, Sergio Herrera. He's for Osasuna, I don't think they could do much better. So I think he serves them well, and he did in this game. They got off to a fantastic start, Mauro Gomez. And for a long period of the game, it looked like the Osasuna we've become accustomed to seeing in recent seasons, which hasn't been the case this year. So, and then out of the blue, Sadiq scores.
Yeah.
A replica of the goal he scored the week before. And I talk about confidence.
Yes.
I'm really pleased for him, because there was an element to me that he was being ridiculed a little bit.
Mm.
Because he is so different to the other strikers at Real Sociedad. He can appear at times, making his way back from a long injury as well. His touch wasn't as assured as it should be, but that was being rusty and not playing for almost a year. And I did see one or two of the Real Sociedad players throw their arms up in the air that he wasn't as technically efficient as some of the other players that they do have. And I felt for him a little bit. They paid big money for him, and we saw what he could do at Almeria. And then the last two games, his confidence is through the roof now in terms of shooting from distance with power.
Mm.
And it was another incredible goal. To score two goals like that in 2 weeks will give him a massive increase in confidence. And it will make him feel as if he does actually belong at Real Sociedad.
Yeah.
Because that's a worry. I know he's not a new player, but he's new in terms of the first game he played last season for them, picked up an ACL injury. And we've only just seen him back again. So it's been a frustrating year in his life, joining a very good big club that were ultimately ended up playing Champions League football, and he wasn't part of that success last season. And to find his way into the team, to find his way into the general fabric of the squad is difficult. And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant goal. So I'm absolutely delighted for him. And it gives them something different. He is different. I might contradict myself by saying that, but he is different. That's why they bought him, because he did give them something different. And slightly worrying, the injury to Barinacea. I haven't yet caught up with how bad the injury is, but he's been magnificent this season. So there's another knee injury. He's had a history of knee injuries as well. So fingers crossed and everything else that isn't a serious one. So it was a decent result for Real Sociedad, because it also certainly looked like what we normally become accustomed to seeing from Osasuna. Still only the one win at home for Osasuna this year, which is slightly surprising.
Sevilla still looking for the result under Diego Alonso. So they got a 1-1 with Villarreal. Morales scored again. What did you make of that? And then I will ask you a bit about Bren Brereton-Diaz as well.
The disallowed goal. Mm. It's classic Sevilla. They have some injury issues. Cunha goes off at half-time. Piqué Salas comes on, scores a wonderful header. Mm. He's a centre-back. If you see the header, it's like Lewandowski at his best. Mm. And within 90 seconds, they concede. So that's a typical of a team that's going through this period like Sevilla, where they've worked hard to score a goal. They've been a better team. And when they do get their noses in front, the jubilation and celebration, they just switch off. And then Villarreal get in, and it's Morales with a tap in to equalise. He scored in every game that Marcelino's had as manager. It's a massive turnaround. And then we come to the goal from Brereton-Diaz. I'm still not convinced it's not the Sevilla player. I think it was Kiko Salas again, who clips his own ankle.
Yeah.
But I can see why it was disallowed. I can see why the referee is giving him a VAR. I don't think it's hugely controversial. Mm-hmm. And Sevilla kind of got away with it because Bren Brereton-Diaz didn't mean to make the foul. It was a clip, a tangle, which led to the Sevilla player going down and him going through, finishes off his shot. Well, he'd be thinking that's typical of my luck at the moment.
Yeah.
Get opportunities, take the chance well, and it's disallowed.
It does sort of run through him a bit, though, doesn't it? Because he runs really close to him, doesn't he? That's what gives rise. He didn't go around him. I think he's beating him for pace anyway, but there's probably not enough room. So he takes a relative shortcut right across the back of him.
Exactly.
And then fouls him. Yeah. And then probably does foul him. Yeah. So where, I mean, you know, and he's a young fella, Bren Brereton-Diaz. Does he come back to England in January or does he stick it out and try?
I'd stick it out for the season, definitely. Yeah. Mm. I'd give it a whole season for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't be in a rush to leave. New manager as well, so you're trying to impress another new boss. It's been a difficult, troublesome season for Villarreal, the third manager of the season. No, I wouldn't contemplate moving on if I was him. I'd do that in the summer. If I would make that decision in the summer, not necessarily move on in the summer.
Yeah.
But make that decision. Give it a season.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And see how the land lies. So, it's certainly.
We haven't got a lot of goals to discuss. coming up, we've got a couple of red cards, which affected games, really. So, Las Palmas beat Getafe by 2-0. The so-called clash of styles, but in fact, Las Palmas were putting crosses into the box, which was causing Getafe problems, and they won the game 2-0.
Yeah, it's remarkable, because every now and then you look at it and you go, oh, Getafe lost again, but they've got 19 points and they're 10th.
Yeah.
They're one of those teams that they win or lose, and I will explain that, what I mean by that, because we have a number of teams now that don't win games, don't get beat, draw every game.
The bottom six have only got 7 wins between them all season, and we're in December. It's incredible how few games those teams at the bottom are winning.
So Getafe will write this off. Las Palmas were a better team. The clash of styles, two different. And Getafe's problem is that sometimes it does look like Mason Greenwood is the only player capable of creating anything for them in effect. So I think that's something they're going to have to try and rectify. You can't just have one player. I know Enes Unal is missing for the season. That's a blow. Mayoral has been good this season, but there are certain games where you look and you think, they just don't look like scoring a goal because of the nature of their play. But then I think they're relying on home form. They're relying on teams below them not winning many games. And they're relying on maybe getting beat in one, but win the next one, or win 1 out of 3. And that's clearly going to be enough. As I say, there's an element of surprise when looking. Are they 10? They're 19 points. Mm. Considerably a distance away from the relegation threatened team. So, but Las Palmas, I have changed my opinion on them. I didn't see them scoring any goals. Actually, at the beginning of the season, I got bored watching them, to be honest. Loads of possession, no end product. But that's changed as they've settled down in the league. Got confidence as well. Newly promoted team. not sure. They looked like they wasn't sure whether their style would succeed in La Liga. Now I enjoy watching them, and I think they're a real good addition to La Liga now. Vibrant crowd, some good attacking players, and I think they're going to be comfortable now. I really genuinely thought, because of their lack of goals at the start of the season, that they would struggle, but they've overcome that, and they look at a decent team now. Thoroughly deserved victory, no doubt.
Two other nil-nils. Almeria nil, Betis nil. Bellerin sent off 27 minutes in. Almeria had a load of chances and didn't take advantage.
Hit the bar a couple of times as well. It is no wins, 4 points. Every time I see Almeria, though, and likewise Granada a lot of the times, I'm thinking there's better results ahead for these two. Mm. But every week, it's not. So it's a difficult one. Betis, I think, should have done better. I know Bellerin gets sent off. Silly challenge. The art of tackling is that you cannot tackle with your legs straight and the studs showing. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I was taught to tackle, I don't know, I'm older than you. It was like a block tackle, side on with the side of your foot.
Yeah.
I learned the hard way that you get hurt tackling like that, because other players didn't tackle like that. So you learn. You have to tackle with your studs showing.
Yeah, and your legs straight.
And your legs straight.
Yeah. Weight all through the middle.
And it's kind of going back now where you think, actually, that old-fashioned tackle is the only way to tackle now. As soon
Which
as you
one?
Lunge in with your the instep.
The twist. Yeah. Which you were told not to do because it left you vulnerable to someone else going in hard and straight. Yeah.
And there was a lack of trust.
Yeah.
So you were naive if you tackled like that. So it was sort of went from that's how you tackle to not how you tackle. And I think now I look at it and I think
you were right back in the 80s. Yeah. That's how they should be tackling. Yeah.
And it was senior players that said to you, no, you're going to get your leg broke tackling like that.
Mm.
So you taught as a schoolboy to like the old 50-50 block tackle.
Yeah.
Both players would be going the same. Then there's a period of, no, players are not doing that anymore. They're going in over the ball and they're going in with their studs and their straight leg. Two-footed tackles were quite the fashion at the time as well. So you ended up invariably with two players just flying in with two-footed tackles at the same time on each other. And no one got booked or sent off.
Mm.
And this one from Bellerin, then he stretches and his studs are showing and then he comes down on the shin. It's Adrian Barber. It's a clear red card.
Mm.
You see the replay, it was a clear red card. So Betis, I think, still should have done better with the 10 men. William Jose was instantly taken off. Osi Perez shuffled across up front. They played Isco in some sort of support. And they were content to hold on to what they had for the rest of the game. And I don't think they should have done.
Yeah.
I think they could have done something different. And now Maria hit the bar twice. I think 19 shots, 8 on target. They should have won this game. Almeria.
Yeah. Mallorca nil, Alaves nil. I didn't want to say much.
Carl Lewin is, I mean, no Marici. I don't think, I must be honest, I've only just pulled the highlights. And one win at home for Mallorca, one win all season for Mallorca. That wasn't at home.
Yeah.
I think there's issues at Mallorca. I look at that and I look at that as a decent point for Alaves. They're trying to pick their way through a season where they're newly promoted. And it was too comfortable for them. And Carl Lewin had a couple of chances. He looked a bit of a handful, but not enough for a home team against a team that came for a draw. So Mallorca have got some issues. I expect them to be doing much better this year. They're the draw specialists.
Yeah, it's ludicrous how many there are. Right, I meant to ask you a question that Raphael asked you. Sorry about that. So Koke, he wanted, in fact, I wrote it down. Curious to see if Terry could give us a little scouting report on Koke. He's got the appearance record for Atleti by a long margin. Has been a pillar for the team for over a decade, but it seems generally underrated when compared with other top midfielders. What makes him so good? Can he be considered true generational talent or just the right player under the right coach? Is his success predicated by Simeone's system at Atleti, or would he succeed at any other top club?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of clubs that he would have succeeded at in terms of his style of play, holding midfield player, steady Eddie, I have to be honest. We don't see him scoring many goals. Tremendous work rate, and he's still got that. He's still only 31. They're talking about him breaking all sorts of records for a one-club player, which I didn't realise existed. And for that, by that, I mean, Carlos Puyol is the perfect example. We never played for anybody else, Carlos Puyol. So even Messi played more games than Koke, but Messi went off and played for PSG. So relinquish that one club player title, which Koke, I think, will do. I think Koke, times have changed now where there is a period at the end of a player's career that wasn't there in the past where they can go and earn millions of pounds, millions of euros, millions of dollars by a couple of years playing in the Middle East. So, but it is tremendous. I think there was an element of the right manager and the right time for Koke. He embodies all that Simeone is about. And he's been the leader for Simeone for such a long time now. 14 years he's been playing. The first couple, he made a few appearances before Simeone arrived. The majority of his appearances, of course, have come as Simeone's leader, captain on the field, learned from some tremendous experienced players. First broke into the scene. He's a different player now, of course, at 31, with 600 games under his belt, than he was when he first played. That first title win he got, he was the right-sided midfield player. He was all over the pitch and he was young and enthusiastic. He was aggressive, always had good technical ability. So I have all the respect in the world for Koke. To the extent I'm surprised he came off last night when he did. I'm surprised he was one of those players that Simeone took off within the hour. So I think it was a clear sign that Simeone wanted more attack-minded players and Koke doesn't come into that category anymore. But no, I think he's been a wonderful player and still a wonderful player. There have been times he hasn't been at his best, but 14 years, I think we can excuse him the odd period of not being, playing it at the top of his game. So a super footballer.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Terry. We will leave it there. Everybody, thank you for your support. Thank you, Patreons, for your support as well. We'll be back with a regular podcast for everybody about next week. So we'll see you for that. Bye-bye.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.